And we welcome you tonight to Bethel Baptist Church, and we hope you have your hymn books at hand. And we always open with number 255, Blessed Assurance. And we also welcome those who are now hooked to the Internet. This is the hour of the Internet, and we praise the Lord for you. And we thank the Lord that you are listening to Bethel Baptist Church evening worship service. Here we are, number 255. We come to you in the preciousness of Jesus, our beloved Savior. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to express ourselves and to give a reason of our faith and to study your word and to enrich our knowledge of what we're supposed to do as a church body. Thank you, Lord, for the Romans 15 who enable us to understand our ministry. And we pray that tonight, again, as we conclude the studies, this will be a mark of a distinguished factor in our church. This is the way we operate. This is the way we witness to the world who we are. Thank you, Father. And Lord, thank you for your word, which is so wonderfully written by you through different people so that we know your will. So cause us tonight to rejoice as we conclude this series on the ministry of the church, and then cause us to understand more and more our responsibility as a body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who are here. Bless those who are traveling to their homes, Father, at this hour. And above all, Father, give us in anything we do and say, the opportunity to testify that Jesus is Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, we will let you choose a different song. If you are in the Internet and you have the means to go to BBCMH, you just go in the chat and tell us what number. But Brother Kress, you look like a nice boy. Let's put it this way. All right, tell me. 70. 70. Well, that much this morning, sir, don't worry. Holy, holy, holy. That much the seriousness of the gospel. All right, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you.
257. All right. 257. This is so sweet, the trust in Jesus. All right. Here we are. Sing this evening.
Sure.
Ivy has one?
Well, I want one, but she's...
Well, she's got to have her own. Does anyone else have one?
How about 263?
263. Chris, you cannot be picking for other people. They have to pick their own. Now, you can suggest and you can recommend, but, you know, putting words in their mouth. 263.
Thank you.
stand on and has God's faithfulness to His word. He will do, remember? We studied that. He will do whatever He says. All right, Brother Chris, you've been for the second time in, give us a report. What happened in Pacific Hill?
Oh, God really showed up.
Really? God was present?
Well, not invisible for
him. Okay. I just wanted to check on it. Yeah. You know, because the way you said it, God showed up.
The Holy Spirit really showed up. This one woman was very moved. It was just amazing.
All right. We have given you this month the burden of two services. We will try to get somebody for the third week so that you don't have that burden of two services. But meantime, you can do it until I find I'm confident with somebody to do it. But you enjoy it then. It was good. Okay, these are your... I know, that's your cup of tea. All right, that's a cup of tea. You know, each one to his own, and that's true. And I think you will do a great job. I'm very proud of you. All right? And let me see. Say it again. 256. All right. Very good. 256. I'm so glad when somebody finds their niche in the place, you know, and that's your place for now. And I think it's just you. That's what the church is for, and that's what pastors are for, to put people in the place where they belong to. And you can see the fruit right away, and I can see you so happy. All right? Okay, 256. Number two, that's his number. I know. Number two, love divine. Not only love, but love divine, which increases the power of love. All right? That's fantastic. Thank you. have a son of your own. Okay, Brother Blicker, then I get to you, Chris. 46, indeed. 46. Just give you some brief news and repeat what this morning Brother Plika has said. In 2 weeks approximately, we will perhaps have a church business meeting. And so I don't know if it's a church business meeting or a special business meeting, but it is a meeting from the church. So we'll let you know that and be ready so legally we are in time with that happen. And missionary Fred Lewis is coming on June 10th. He will be here the whole day, morning and evening, so giving us a report of what he is doing now in Los Angeles. I think that's very good. It's very close to here. So he and his wife will fly on Friday to here in the night and stay here until Sunday night. So praise God that we get this missionary. And on May, remember, missionary Paris is here also. On no, June Father's Day. The following Sunday, then we have two missionaries on the 10th, one and on the 17th. That's correct. 17th missionary Perez will be here also morning and evening, giving us a message and the report. And missionary Perez, as you know, is in Benalmadena, and close to Malaga, about 5 miles from Malaga. Beautiful place on the Mediterranean. You just stand in the church and you see the ocean. Right there, so it's very beautiful. I was there, I preached there, and he told me to go again. So you have to send me, all right? Okay, now, well,
we should pray for Heather Lewis. She flew to Siberia Friday to go and pick up all the books and many things like that left there and to close whatever.
Yeah, they when they left, was an emergency. He, Brother Lewis was sick and went to Finland and from Finland to here. And now the government allowed her to go in and pick up all the things, pack it, and send it back to America and close the apartments or whatever they have in there. Yeah, so that's good to know. She's alone doing all this business for the family. All right, one or two more songs tonight. And we have a lot of people sick. I pray this morning, and then I don't know, in the Hudson family, you know, allergies are everywhere and sometimes are heavy. I know because of Raquel, but Elizabeth has a tooth problem, all right? Oh, okay, the wisdom teeth is there. And all four at once? Wow, those doctors are without mercy. I never heard that. Yeah, maybe don't like her, and the doctor don't like her, because I never heard. No wonder she's painful. All right, okay. I have taken all of these at once, but the surgery. The surgery, you never know. When you wake up, you have new teeth already on. Remember my first step? There were four different dentures. And the first one, they took off, they cut the maxillary, they put the new one, put it over there. 2 hours later, I was talking so good. But I was sleeping, all right? So I feel sorry for her that this is painful. that was recommended to take all of them? All right, I don't know why in America they take the last, you need it, you know, for a steak, bigger steak. You need that. But in America they do that. So did God make a mistake when he put the last mortgage? No, he didn't. All right. Okay, one more song then. Brother Chris.
226, my Savior.
226. All right, we will do, Chris. And we are very happy to have you with us and to be active in the ministry. And as you saw, some people took Bibles this morning. Yeah. It was all packed. All right, my Savior. All right, 226. So much for this wonderful song. That was a remarkable song, really. In the evening service, we are engaged on the studies of the ministry mentality, and everybody has their own mentality in their ministry, but the Bible clearly spelled them out in Romans chapter 15, so you do well if you open that particular chapter of the scripture. And many people, when they come and they are new and they are visiting a church, they do ask the question, what do your church do for evangelism? What do your church do for this? And what do your church do for the other? And different churches have different operations systems. In other words, they have different programs installed, one for evangelism, where the people go around and pass tracts and trying to lead people to the Lord. Others have a large youth ministry with great entertainment things, young couples ministries, elderly ministries, and all kinds of things. What we're supposed to do is what a pastor faces as he got his diploma from the seminary and goes out into the street. Every church is so different. And then what you're supposed to do. And the best way is to go to the scripture, which tells you exactly what you're supposed to do. And Romans 15, Paul is closing up his career, his ministry, and right to the church of Rome in a marvelous way. And first and most, he said that the most important part, as you see in the paper that I pass you out, and by the way, if you are listening and you want a one page in the entire three sermons, you can have it, or if you can go to the internet and click in the archive. I think is that correct, Brother?
No,
No, I have it printed, but you have the audios in the internet. At least for a while, we put it there, and then we say that you can go over there. The same thing is with these three sermons on March on the issue of studying the human being and who we are. I thought it was very eloquent, and I listened to them first time, I listened to them second time, and it's just important that you know yourself, who you are, and how you are made. Going back to these. The ministry of the church, the first one is to building you up in the faith. The best evangelist is anyone who knows the scripture. That's the best evangelist. Because when somebody have a question on pain, you have an answer for that. I saw in the television a broadcaster early this morning who was a journalist. And he is an artist and writing biographies. And he said he took the biography of this eloquent preacher. And he said that I would believe in God. It was not that God created pain. And that's correct. God created sin and created pain. The Bible says that. And so I was mad with God that he did that. And this pastor explained to that person that the meaning of pain, for example, pain is a discipline in our life, and a disaster in your life, chaos in your life. It's discipline that the Lord brings into your life so that you grow and know how to face difficulties and so on. And so after that, he said, the journalist said, after that, I came to the conclusion that God knows what he's doing. And that was a great, for a big journalist, who is a great writer, wrote a biography of President Johnson. That was very, very good to say that over the sky in an interview in a round table conversation. And so I think the pastor that he interviewed and he told that, he was well educated in the Bible, so that he explained to these fellow what God is doing, and he was able to understand it and find God. And that's the ministry of the church. Whether you are in this class in the evening where we study elements of theology, or whether you are in the Sunday school class where we study the scripture, what the scripture says, as you go through the book of Jeremiah, I read it at home before coming here, and I was reading the scripture as Brother Plika was teaching this morning. I was in the box, I'm reading from chapter 18 and catch up with him on chapter 19. It is scary to know how God really has informed us of everything what happened to us if we disobey him. And so that's what we have, the Sunday school classes to build you up. In the afternoon, we have classes where you can bring a question and find and give a headache to Pastor Thompson to look for the answer. But he's going to look in the scripture. That's my warranty to you. Pastor Thompson is going to talk out on the top of his head. He's going to look. That's what sometimes, well, we look in this question the coming Sunday, because he's going to look in the scripture. and that's what a church is all about. And in the evening service, we take these hints of theology and we put it together. May, I'm going to bring theology in the morning, and I'm going to teach you bibliology, the Bible, and the elements of the Bible, how these apply to you. Once you get all of these educated, the reason is not that you said, oh, in my church we know more than any other church. That's not the reason why we teach it. The reason is that you can help each other, husband and wife. Now, some people take the meaning of the Bible who said the wife should not speak in church to their home. And so, no, the wife cannot teach the husband. But many times my wife has taught me things that she shared from the scripture. My sister-in-law, Elvira, one time was in home and we were sharing the scripture. And she said, now this has happened because of this scripture. And there was, I read that scripture many times, but I never related to the fact while we were talking. And enlighten me profoundly. And so you see, it is so good that you know the scripture to help somebody else. And especially in the family of God. Parents with children, husband and wife sharing together and really enrich themselves with the knowledge of God. And so the first ministry of the church is the ministry of edification. I guarantee to you, you come to Sunday school, you're going, Jeremiah is not an easy book. You're going to hear the word of God from the ancient book and apply it to our life. Brother Plika did a good job. I'm sure that Pastor Thomason did a good job with the young people, and a brother in the young couples class, which is no longer young couple class, and then all the young kids learning about Jeremiah. I thought for myself as I was listening, what a privilege we have that from little ones we're learning the entire Bible into our life. And you don't know this, but little by little you get to know this. And you get to, and another time, 10 years from now, you read Jeremiah and say, oh, yeah, I remember. They taught me this and the other. And that's the key of the church, the ministry of edification, to bring you into the knowledge of God so that you have a foundation and how to share your life. Then the second ministry, which is in the pre-pulpit of the page, is a ministry of evangelism. And you remember what I said last Sunday, in evangelism you need to have a goal. Now, tonight, Chris has expressed his goal. When I said to him, well, it's a burden to have two Sundays on you, he said, no, it's okay for me. These are my people. So I make a check mark here. I said, okay, here is the gift of Chris McCain. All right? These are my people. And God's going to bless him because these were his people. Now, let's see if you remember. What were Paul's people? The Gentiles. And Peter's people? The Jewish people. You see, it is amazing. Each one qualifies to people. Now, everybody associates me with the Spanish people because I have a Spanish background. So they sent me to Costa Rica to speak to the people over there. And they were willing to talk about soccer, the Spanish people. They were in the computer. They saw over there my games and so on in the past and this and the other. But no results. When I told them that it's evil to live together without the bounds of matrimony, and it's evil to say bad words and so on, and it's because of our heart that almost I went to the restaurant, nobody wanted to take care of me. They were really afraid. But I walk on the beach, I grab a dog that was loose over there, and somebody comes around and says, my dog, and tried to speak Spanish, you know, the Americans tried to speak Spanish. I said, don't worry about it. I speak English. I know it's your dog. It was well groomed, and I said, here's your dog. It was right there by the river. And he said, what are you people doing here? And we started a conversation. 10 minutes later, I'm walking on the beach again, and this doctor come in and said, well, why don't you come to luncheon with us? And I said, well, where is, I don't know where the place is. I'm here in these compounds. Oh, we have a car. We take you to the truck driver's stop. And then in the luncheon, I said, well, you know, I have, Don Raquel said, well, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor in these and the other. And he said, you know, I'm a psychologist and I work in jails, but I have a hard time with my life. I can't find God. And so over the luncheon, I was talking. And this lady was listening. Then, the next day, they're in my home and I listened to Pastor Thompson speaking. Oh, Ramil was speaking. And we took to the computer, our church. And then they bring books, notebooks, and so on. And after the dinner, and then we sit down the whole afternoon, talking and writing down and so on. And now they listen, Mary and Jerry, they listen over there and they can't believe it how they found God. But God prepared them because they were smart. They went and bought Bibles. And so they started reading the Bible, but they had no knowledge. And then God brought me to walk in a solitary beach. No one soul except a little dog and all the fish that go around. And you know, it's not to happen. God brings his people, but you need to have the knowledge, and it's just so beautiful, so wonderful. So each to his own, and I relate to them very well. And my friend said, do you have any result? Yes, we have an American family who lives about 2 houses from you, who is interested in knowing God. An American family. What about the Spanish? They're scared to death because I told them, here's the law of God. And you cannot fool around and then need another person. Another evangelist came in and did the work and they got about 100 people talking. See, each one has their own. And that's what I believe in evangelism. Requires a definite goal, requires an explicit message. Remember, you cannot fool around. Here's the message. What is the explicit message that we have? It's in the Bible. Whatever the circumstances is, we have to say, the Bible says, Never said our church said, or my pastor said, or my Sunday school teacher said, but the Bible said, require a special message. It requires personal testimony. If you're going to witness to the car salesman and you owe your payments, what kind of witness will be that? Suppose you buy a car in payment, and then you don't make your payments in time, you cannot witness, all right? So you see, you have to have a testimony. And requires a very healthy ambition. You have to know where you stand. You have to know where you stand. I remember when I was trained as a pastor, back in my 37 years old, at 38, Pastor Herman Brownlee said to me in New Jersey, he said, you have to know where you go to church and who is your church. So I was 25, I was a silk salesman, 25, and we had German Bible studies and German songs. And Germans are very excited when they sing. You have to see how beautiful. I've been in their meetings in the German church congregation. And it's after 25 years. We had 2,200 people. And they said, and I told them, now look, we need a pastor, he said, because here we are, 200 people, we meet in this place, in a fireplace. And he said, no, you are our pastor. No, so I never been in seminary. No, you are our pastor. And so I went out, and they bought a beautiful property right east by the freeway, 23 acres. And little by little, took another 25 years to build one building, and to build another building, and to build another building. And I designed their structure for the new building they have, and so on. And he pastored the church for 65 years, and he died. And then he told me, he said, Pastor Otero, you need to know which one church you have. And they stay there, whether it's 10 people or 2,000 people, until you die. That's your ministry. And that's stability, all right? We call it stability. And stability gets respect. And so I was well trained from people who knew the scripture. You don't see Paul jumping from one place to the other. He said, I'm a missionary. I don't want to get married, because if I get married, I love to get married, but how I take care of my wife, and I'm in mission. Remember, there were no airplanes, no cars, and they walked, and they went to Greece. Took 3 years in and 3 years back. All right, so that's very important. The ministry of evangelism is the result of what you know. Now tonight, I bring to your attention in the page, the pages on the back page that I give you, the ministry of administration, and we're going to complete also the ministry of intercession. And we complete then Romans chapter 15, verse 22 to the end. Now, the ministry of administration. Look at Romans 15 and in verse 22 and 23. Paul have completed his ministry. He said, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts. In other words, he evangelized everything, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. Now I can go to you, he said, because I have complete my ministry. How many trips did he make? Three missionary trips. He had evangelized, testified, he has established the churches, they are there, my job as a founder of churches is done. Now is your job. So here's a good administrator, it doesn't stay always on the same job. He built it up, he put it on, he said, this is done, now we go to the next one. All right? Now, he lay out his intentions in verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. Now look at how old is Spain, all right? We're talking about the year 70. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thither guard by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. In other words, he lay out his intentions. As an administrator, the people who are in leadership have to lay out their intentions. In our deacon board, we work with that conditions. We lay out our intentions. We are on the business of selling and acquiring property, and the committee lay out their intentions. It's very important that this is done so you know where you go. All right, number three, he organized his priority. Look at verse 25 to 27. But now I go into Jerusalem. That's priority number one. Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow morning at 4, 5, or 6, or 7 o'clock in the morning? You know, that's your priority. I know exactly what I will try to do. May God maybe change it, but I know exactly what I'm going to do. And that's very important. I know exactly what I'm going to do every morning of every day. All right? You'll find me running on the hills, all right, at 6 o'clock in the morning if you want to find me. Okay? You organize your priority. Verse 26. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So he organized his priorities. He gave a reason to his priorities. I have to do this because there is an offering of benevolence that I bring in my hand. Verse 27, it hath pleased them verily, them are the people of Macedonia, and their debtors they are, for if Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Is that clear? Your priority as a believer is, okay, the pastor of the church feed you, the church feed you, now you have a responsibility financially to support the ministry. That's what the scripture said. And this is what it is. So a contribution to the church is almost a due of your part because you have been blessed spiritually. And the Apostle Paul said, we brought the gospel to Macedonia, Greece, okay? We brought the gospel to Greece. Now let the Greek people pay for the problem they have here at Jerusalem, and they have famine and so on. Let them bring the money. And Paul was very happy to do about it because this is proper, he said. And so you can see how things are organized. People are being saved, are being educated. Now you make a contribution to the church so the church can carry on the ministry of edifying your soul. That's a very important fact. Then number four, he drafts his future. That's very important. You know, if you don't draft your future, people around you will do it for you. The same thing when I worked. When I used to work in my engineering, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Otherwise, somebody else will draft something else. Okay, here it is, his future. Right here, verse 28, 29. When, wherefore, I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. I'm going to do these things, 1, 2, 3, before, and after that, I will be with you, and I will say to you, in my way to Spain, I will visit with you. And so here is an administrator. An administrator knows how to program his life in the light of his obligation. And that's the most difficult part for pastors. Because some pastors are guided by the emotional factor. Emotional factor is this. If you don't see your church full of people, you think you are a failure. Well, do radio. You see only yourself and a microphone and a time clock that tells you how to pronounce your nouns and verbs, and they have a timing as you program what you're going to read. The clock is telling you exactly how you talk, and nobody around you. You don't want anybody around you. You have your papers and so on, and you're doing something that you're not speaking to people, you're not receiving the look of people, you're nothing, but you are doing that knowing that once they go into the airways, God will use it for people. All right? And so it's so important to have a visualization of your ministry. And so our church ministry is not to get 5,000 people. Our church ministry is to educate in the gospel anybody who comes into the floor of this church. And anybody who comes into the floor of this church will be, by the mercies of God, send it in. He will send it. Now, we pray that the people of Morgan Hill will come in. But amazing enough, 50% of the church is foreign to Morgan Hill. It's from other parts. Well, then, that's a unique church, don't we? That's a unique church. One missionary came here from Nigeria one time. I don't know if Jack remembers that short black missionary. And he was in Nigeria. He said, oh, I want to, next month I'll be in Pastor Otero. Oh, Pastor Otero, I have a book here, Pastor Otero, in Nigeria. He went to the university in Nigeria. He said, well, tell Pastor Otero to come here. And he was shocked. He came here, this tiny little church. He never saw our church before. I told him it's a cathedral, so he's driving around. He finds this place. He comes in, and he told the congregation, this is the global church, he said. Your pastor names is all over the university and levels in Nigeria. And you see what happened? You don't need a cathedral to be the impact. You need the Word of God and the means of God. How many churches would like to have the internet on? Well, we are gifted to the internet through Pastor Thomason, who has his gift in technology. And God is using this to thousands of people. You have no idea. They are hooked on. And so it is very important that when you go into the ministry, and the administration of the ministry is serious. And I drive that with jealousy in our church. That is my strong hand in the church. That the board and the congregation follows the strictness of being fulfilled in the scripture. I care less what other churches do. I care less what hundreds of churches do. I only care what I do in the light of my gift to the ministry. And when another pastor comes in, he will have a different kind of gift, and the church will make a switch to that kind of gift. See? Each to each his own. All right? But as long as I'm alive and move my legs and think, I can build you up in the faith so strong that you can take off any place you want to. But I tell you, we are strong. I say, I'm on the phone here, and the phone rings from other churches, and one of the, you cannot believe the problems people have. I stopped going to pastors' meetings because the only thing they share is problems. Problems. And when I say, no, I'm in love with my congregation, they can't believe it. All the problems they have, because they have expectations that they are not in the scripture. My expectation is to teach you, and whatever the Lord brings back is of the Lord. One thing is very serious in my life, and is the sovereignty of God. He does what He pleases. And if we do what He said, He's going to accomplish His goal. Not in the way I expected, but in the way He does, and I'm happy about it. All right? So the ministry of administration is very important, that the pastor and the board knows what to do and how to do it. Now there is one more ministry, and that's the ministry of intercession, which our church is very weak. Let's go. Romans chapter 15. Look at what he says. As Paul asked the church to pray for him, verse 30. Now I beseech you. Now what do you think I beseech you means? I desire of you. I beg you. I beg you. So I beg you. What? Brethren, women and men, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. All right? We need to do that. You need to pray for your pastor daily. And here in the church's pastors, daily. Never miss a day to pray for us. Especially our brother Greg is going out and work in the civil work, and then do the ministry here until the Lord have him full time. And so we need to pray. You need to pray for us. And the apostle, see, the ministry of intercession is part of the church ministry. You pray for us. And he then asked the church that his ministry be accepted. Verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And you need to pray that our ministry, Pastor Thomason and Pastor Terrell's ministry, be accepted of the believers, and be a reproduction in the life of the believer, and be a blessing of the believers. You need to pray intelligent that we study the word, that when we deliver the message from God, will be a help to all of us. It's just extraordinary when I study the Bible, how much help I receive for what I study. I look on it and say, wow, this I need. Or this is it's just very important. All right? And now, verse 32, ask to identify the certainty of God's will. Look at what he prayed. He said, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. How many times we pray, God, is this your will on the matter? You know, we are in a crucial time of Bethel Baptist Church. We've been there here, 25 years, and no year, but the ministry is 25, so we will be, 22 years in this place, something like that? 22 years. 22 years ago, we were in a crucial road. Brother Jacques even looked someplace we're going to meet. Brother Russell emptied his shop. We're going to meet over there because the bank requested in Gilroy, the bank requested the place that we were meeting. They're going to do offices. And then we look in some places where we're going to meet. And then the Lord bring a realtor put a sign in the front of this. All of this was farm. Nothing here except this little tingling place. Put a sign said for sale. Raquel calls me to the office of the church that we have an office in. And the buildings that Brother Jackie Sanders is on, is that there's a sign for sale. That's it. We buy it. I call Brother, now in heaven, Brother Cassidy. I say, you bring the check. So I call the guy. I told Raquel, tell the guy how much it is. $225,000. So I said, Brother Cassidy, bring the check. $225,000. No question about it. We get the place. No question. But Pastor, no question. Come in. And I have to go to Hawaii on vacation in 3 days. I said, so bring that money. I had no time to do this. All right. You know, we were body bodies with him. So he's Mercedes from Pacific Grove, remember? And come here, and he's trembling. He said, Pastor, the church will pay you back. We'll pay you back. Come on. It'll be stupid. So we give the check to the man. We secure the place. That was a crucial time. Brother Jack created the way. We pay him back. The building was paid off within 2 or 3 years. That right, Brother Jack? And Brother Jack got a loan in his own house to pay this man back. And then we pay Brother Jack and off and so on. I mean, took a process. But again, the administration. The goal was to acquire a place, and the Lord will give us a place like you. At that time, we thought nothing of the place. You will not think anything. Farm everywhere. Oh, this was rotten. The kitchen here in the back was all nothing. Brother Rass and Linda, they worked like crazy. The walls were red, white. The church belonged to our beloved black brethren. So they light colors. And so there was all things. And we worked hard as can be. And we have the meeting here. That was crucial in our church. I think it was very easy because we need to go. And the Lord provided one day before everything falls apart. Now, we have a city saying, planning at least, that this be a shopping area. And we need to move. Now, I'm going to read that verse 32 again for you, because this is what managers are committing. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God. So we are asking God, what is your will? There is a land here. It's a land over there. It's another land over there. We are visiting, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 4 different lands in the area. Which one is the one that will be proper for the church that will fit the budget? We will never go beyond our budget. I told you, we won't ask you for money. And we have, out of the blue, an offer coming in, enough, larger than the offer that we had before. Now the committee has a big job. They have to find God's will, which land will be proper. See? It is a big job. But the burden is not on us. The burden is on the Lord. Whatever the Lord brings. See? It's just extraordinary. So here is the Apostle Paul asked the people to pray so that he can identify God's will. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. We need to pray. God, what is your will? What is your will in the matter? Not too long ago, a year ago, we thought that in Dan Avenue was a piece of land that we can get hold on. 2 or 3 times, Brother Jack and I insisted. I visited even the place beside the Lutheran church. And lo and behold, they don't want to sell. And lo and behold, they sell to the Lutheran church a section of the land. But the place is gone. We say, oh, that will be good. God said, no, it's not good. That's not my will for you. See, we need to relax in God's will. It's good for us to say we have to agree with the city to move. Then let God move us. And it's going to be within the city. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be God's place for us. And I'm glad that we build in that way. So the ministry of intercession. So Church of God, that's what we meet on Wednesday. We meet to pray. It's not just one more meeting. We need to pray. The ministry of intercession is part of the living church. One time, one man told me, well, who told you we need to pray together? I sit down, and I went through the book of Acts, and remember the book of Acts, one time the people were praying, and the walls trembled. And who was at the door? My friend Peter, who was in jail, and God brought it to the church. After prayer. So if our church will pray, we will know His will quickly, and we will have success. Because as part of the ministry, I will never ask you to do a meeting that is not in the Bible. I guarantee it. So Sunday, the whole day is in church. I require that. And then the ministry of prayer is all over the book of Acts. It's so important. So what is the conclusion? Verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all, he said. That's his conclusion. And to me, the conclusion is this. I type it for you in the paper. It's in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 58. This is my verse. Also, I have a 3x5 card on this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, the Lord doesn't say your labor with 3,000 people, 5,000 people. That's a sure business. Your labor. Your labor. Now, you want to know how big was the church? The Paul wrote the book of Romans. Those who are familiar with the Bible, if you want to get ahead, somebody told me the other day, Pastor, I want you to train me on the book of Romans. I laughed about it, and I said, I can ask you to read it 100 times, please, first. 100 times, yeah, read it 100 times. Don't try to understand it, just read it. And then we will start the study. I send you emails with questions, where to study and not to study. Do you know how big was the church of Rome? The Paul wrote the most important letter of the Apostle Paul, who wrote 25% of the New Testament, is a letter to Rome. You're in chapter 15. Let's go over chapter 16. This as an extra teaching, all right? Look at, I read with you chapter 16, and you count the people in each church, all right? I commend it unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor or a helper of many, and of myself. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own neck, and to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Where was the church? In their house. The church of Rome never had some Peter Square. That was in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphanius, who is the first fruit of Achaia, in Christ. 3 people. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia and Kinsman and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ Jesus before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Estacus, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. You see, they were families. Yeah, they were families together. Salute Herodium, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. That's another church. There were little churches. Salute Tritania and Triphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labor much in the Lord. And look at his brother. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. You know something? Finally, the Apostle Paul has one fruit in the family. His brother Rufus. All right? Salute Ansicritus, Plegon, Hermas, Petrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with him. That's 3 or 4 people. Now here's the next church. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympias, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with kids. See, there were little groups in homes. Were they defeated? Were there law? You know the gospel today because of these people. Because of these little churches, you know the gospel. We are, I tell you, we are in an era where the church is trying to copy from the world the fashion and the style of the world. We are the church of the living God. Actually, I tell you, I'm very pleased with the building we have. It's getting small in the morning, but I'm very pleased. We need more facilities to make the service of the church more appropriate. We need a fellowship hall to follow. We need better classes, and we need more classes so that we can have different activities on classes that I like to have and lay out for the coming year. But we are no bad. We are in a good shape. These children were living in their homes, all right? There was no Sunday school. The Sunday school was created in the year 1800. There were no Sunday school before. The meetings started maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning and last until 6 o'clock in the night, all the way through the scripture. So tradition has changed and things have changed. But one of the things that we know is that the church has a layout in Romans 15 so good. The important part is that we must know where are we going, and we know it. And God is going to supply according to our need exactly what we need. That's my peace of mind. So I never worry about what land, what building. I just put a committee on, and they will do the job. My worry, Pastor Thompson's worry, is to produce the teaching. And when that land will be and the building will come in, we all going to participate and lay out what our needs are. The lady will say, this is our need. The Sunday school director will say, this is our need. As a pastor, I will tell you, this is our need. And God's going to supply it. But let's pray about it. Thank you, Father. Thank you that the ministry of the church is so clear that full emphasis is to build the people of God up in the Word so that they will be, again, stable in themselves and then be a testimony on the earth. We are weak, Father, and we confess to you that our excellency is only you, and the only thing perfect is your Word. And so I pray that Bethel Baptist Church will come to senses and come to pray so that we can have great and wonderful success when we humble ourselves and ask you to give us a direction for what we need. Lord, thank you that prayer is important. Lord, I pray that our people will pray for Pastor Thompson and for myself, that we will be on the Word day and night to fill their hearts and minds with the knowledge of the Almighty, and that we will accept your will, whatever that will is, for our life and for our future. Thank you, Lord, that we do not depend on a strategic mind, that we depend on the power of the sovereign God. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right.